Wouldn't it be nice in a creepy sort of way to be able to collect points in the romantic hazing process we call dating and then redeem them somewhere for a guarantee that this is going to be the relationship that works? See, it's on paper. We can prove it. A series of tests. It gives you solid information on how you can handle the future together, or that clearly disqualifies you from spending more than a weekend together. Because let's face it, folks, we're on our own.
This is Brandon Rognes calling from Garland, Texas, and I decided to tie the knot after living with my girlfriend at the time for 7 years. We finally decided it might be time.
And here's some more wisdom from Texas. Dallas, I thought my husband was great friend material, but not husband material. My mother informed me I was wrong, and we were married 6 months later. It's been 15 years, and I'm very grateful my mother is smarter than I am. Those are some lucky folks from Texas, but Brooke Silva Braga and Jill Andres attacked this problem scientifically before they decided to get married. Their book, The Marriage Test, consists of 40 test dates, from swapping credit cards to avoiding touching for one entire week. The question for all of you out there is, do you dare take the test? Brooke and Jill, welcome to The Takeaway.
Good to be here.
Thanks.
I would say it's good that you're together after all this.
Yeah. Sure is.
We survived.
Yeah, indeed. You know, as a self-help book, as a classic self-help book, you know, you chose 40 dates before I do here. I mean, a lot of people would say, why 40? I mean, if you just do 10, you're at 99th percentile, I would figure, of people who are going to stay together. What do you think?
I think the number 40 was not essential, but I think that it was in the right ballpark. Because a lot of these were surprises to us. We would do a date thinking it was going to reveal one thing and we would discover something else. We did this kind of silly date we just threw in there for no reason called Can't Touch This. We didn't allow ourselves to physically touch at all for a week. And we put it in the sex category. We thought it might have something to do with the way we related to each other intimately. But in the middle of the week, we got into a fight that ended up being the biggest fight we had been in like 2 years because we could not get out of the fight without touching. It was the strangest thing. It dragged on for days. And it was only at the end of this date that we were able to kind of hug and make up.
Yeah, kiss and make up.
That's interesting. So how much method is there and how much did you observe yourselves and go, we're typical enough to be a method for all couples, or we're so strange that people just need to hear about this?
Well, I think we're a little strange, right? Because we were both gung-ho about this idea of really testing ourselves and kind of putting it all on the line, right? Like, are we going to stay together or are we not? The reality is, it's sort of no secret what ends up breaking up marriages. I mean, we hear it all the time. Trust, money, kids, sex.
Right.
You know, and so I think in a lot of ways we were a typical couple. We tried to approach this by saying, we've existed in the world. We hear these stories about what goes wrong. Let's step back and make sure that we are on the same page or that we're good partners for those things.
So choose a sensible one here that a lot of people would choose that they could sort of gauge your success or your outcome by their experience.
We did one where we recorded ourselves having a fight.
Oh, yeah.
So we got into the throes of a heated argument. We started recording. And then about a week later, after we'd cooled off, we listened to it back. We did it separately. And it was incredibly eye-opening to hear yourself in those moments. For me, you know, I'm listening to this fight. I'm talking like 10 words for every one that Brooke gets in. And every moment that he expresses any opinion, I'm right there ready to jump in and make my point. And so that's a kind of date that if you're dating, if you're engaged, if you're married for 25 years, that's something everyone should be thinking about doing.
When you came back together, what did you share about what you'd learned listening to just what a jerk, brilliant person you were, you know, whatever, you know what I mean?
So, well, I thought what was interesting is how we heard it so differently and so much so that after having a disagreement about what we heard, we went back and listened to it a second time. And I said, here, listen, Jill, you're being condescending. You're saying there was like some dirt on the floor. It was a fight about the cleaning of our apartment.
Obviously.
And she had said there was the stain on the floor, the entryway. And she's like, do you not even see it? Do I need to point it out to you? And I was like, see, you're being like so condescending right from the beginning, like that I'm an idiot that I can't see this stain. And she's like, no, I wasn't being condescending. I was just asking the question.
Yeah.
So what was interesting to me was how differently we heard both the content and the tone of it.
On the sexual realm, how do you decide the kinds of things that I mean, I guess you did these adventures, and then how did you decide which ones would go in the book?
We did things like, for a week, we kept track of each other's performance in the bedroom.
Really?
Yeah. And then we came together at the end of the week, and we kind of, like, lit a candle and tried to make it romantic. But then we told each other, you know, what we liked about what our partner did and the things that we didn't like. So there was no other opportunity in, like, a long-term relationship to remember to say those things or to remember to even, like, evaluate your own sexual relationship with your partner. So a lot of these dates in the sexual section were kind of like, do we think we have what it takes to last in the long term?
I'd also say the way that sex was maybe a little different than some of the other categories, I feel like the dates were mainly about trying to improve our sex life, but they weren't a great test because your sex life is easy when you put your whole focus on your sex life. The hard part is when you're not and life's getting in the way or whatever.
Money. Mm-hmm. Explain how you approached money, first of all, as an adventure, and then how you sort of codified that into things, the practical things people could do.
For a month, we actually traded credit cards so we could only spend the other person's money. And that led all kinds of interesting places. And then we spent a month where we figured out what we normally spend and we only let ourselves for that month spend half of that. Mm-hmm. And that caused really more conflict than we expected.
I kind of went into these dates thinking, Brooke and I, we're on the same page about money. You know, we're frugal in a lot of the same ways. We've lived and dated each other while we both made very little money. We got this. And it really exposed just kind of how difficult money is. I mean, when you're trading credit cards, I learned I don't really care so much that Brooke is spending my money. I care that now he knows every single thing I'm doing. You lose the privacy of adulthood kind of when you start to hand over the details of your credit card statement.
We had heard from friends how they, a lot of married couples, had these what seemed to us really strange ways of handling money where they had the separate accounts and one pays the mortgage and the other pays the kids' tuition or whatever it is. And we, before these dates, were so certain we weren't going to be like that. We were just going to put everything in one big bucket and it was going to be our communal money. And at the end of these dates, we were much less certain about that because of some of these things that came up. So we've been inviting other couples to do some
right,
of these dates.
Right.
And,
people are still speaking to you?
Actually, are they? Yeah, I don't know. but one couple actually tried this date where they traded the credit cards, Haley and Matt, and they had some of the same experience we did.
And we usually split the groceries 50-50, but Matt offered to take more on his end, which I thought was super nice of him until I remembered that he had my credit card. But one of the lessons we learned from doing this that I think every couple should do is you start to understand how the other person spends. For instance, I like to pack my lunch so that I can spend my money on coffee, whereas Matt refuses to pack and he only buys lunch.
How do you handle money now? Is it all mixed up together?
Pretty much.
Yeah, in the end, we stuck to our original plan and we did keep it all mixed.
So what tough discussions do you have yet to embark on?
The things I'm thinking about that we're going to come up with or we're going to face that we haven't really talked about yet are things like, you know, maybe we have a couple kids and, like, does it make sense for both of us to keep working? Or what kind of, like nanny situation? Does one of us want to keep the kids close to home and one of us wants to send them off to school? You know, it's just like little things that you don't really even realize you're going to face until all of a sudden you're both looking at each other like, on what planet are you from? Of course we're going to do it this way.
Yeah, the kids seem to be the next great conflict generator in our life.
Yeah, and that'll be really simple. Let me just tell you. And that was, you know, poof, you know, they'll come, you know, they're going to grow up and then they leave and it's no big deal. I love this go house hunting.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, how did you come up with that? Because that's brilliant. That seems really genius.
Well, you know, that's like one of the major life milestones, right? You know, we did a date where we put all the main things we wanted to do over the next 5 years. And, like, the question of do you want to buy a home is one of the things couples should always talk about.
Although, you know, millennials don't want to buy homes anymore. So maybe it's just, like, go buy a bicycle together. It would be for millennials, right?
Well, that was, like, a little bit of the discussion, right? Like, do we want to buy a home? I mean, we've always rented. We're in our 30s now. Like, what was so funny is we went to start this date and Brooke goes, okay, here's, like, we opened up a paper. Here are all the, like, listings. Let's go look at a couple. And he just dove right in. And I'm like, wait, you're looking at ones out in the suburbs. Like, what are you doing? Of course we're just going to look at ones in the city. And it's like we didn't even realize we weren't on the same page about that until you start to say, let's go check out some houses. I'm open to ones that are 20 miles away. And I was not.
It sounds like, Brooke, for you, the whole idea of buying a house was when you go to the suburbs, that's what you do, is you buy a house.
Yeah, I think I've just seen enough people who like the city move to the suburbs to raise their kids. And I think Jill believed that that was a choice, and I believed it was kind of a forced choice, and that we were probably going to be forced the same way a lot of other folks are to have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can stay in the city.
Hope so.
Yeah.
Although one of the things we did on another date, we borrowed a baby for 24 hours. And so what we made sure to do is when we had this little 9-month-old, experiment what it feels like to have one in the city. And I'd had these beautiful dreams of we'll be going to coffee shops and concerts and we're going to do all these things in the city with our children. And then we had this dumb stroller that like basically doesn't fit through the door of the coffee shop by our house. And that I was taken down a little off my high horse when you actually try to go do the things you assume you can.
What about the other person did you learn that really impressed you? In other words, wow, passed these tests with flying colors. I really got the perfect person. And what was found wanting?
I think the big like macro one was when we had all these, were put into all these hard situations, I always came out feeling more confident about our relationship at the end.
Mine is a little more specific, but, you know, I was a woman in my early 30s when we did these dates and, you know, I always knew I wanted kids, but I wasn't sure if Brooke was kind of on that page. So it was really meaningful for me when we went through those dates and I not only learned absolutely, yes, he does want children, but I saw him be an awesome dad, saw him be really gung-ho and super supportive of me. So I kind of came away from these like, I can see us together. I see a life.
A long-term relationship depends on knowing what you need to be aware of in the other person.
Yeah.
That maybe is not a deficiency, but is something that could be a flashpoint or something that if you don't watch it, it could be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn about each other in that regard?
So we did a date where we each went out with someone who's married into the other person's family. I went out with Jill's sister-in-law. And after a few drinks, she finally mentioned what she maybe found wanting in Jill's brother. And as soon as she said it, I realized that it was maybe something that I needed to think about too. And it was that he is so non-confrontational that it's very hard for her to know what's really on his mind and what's really bothering him. And I think there's some of that in Jill as well. And that I have to be really attuned to Jill's concerns because she's never going to say them loudly or clearly. And it's very easy to kind of ignore what's bothering her because she's not great at expressing it.
Yeah. One of the things I've grown to appreciate about Brooke, and also not fear, but to know that it will cause problems for us, is I'm much more boisterous and expressive and outgoing. You know, I come home from a bad day at work and I'm like, you wouldn't believe the things that happen. You know, I just want to talk about it. Brooke, it's not that he doesn't want to be confrontational, it's that he just internalizes things a lot more and he's a man of fewer words. And so I need to be careful not to kind of beat you down or like kind of talk over you so much that I don't get to hear him expressing the things that, you know, in a relationship he should be.
Where do you go from here? I mean, for instance, would you recommend steal a car together?
I bet we'd be good at that. We filmed a documentary illegally in China, so I feel like we'd be good at the like distraction part.
But they do say, and you've described it here, I mean, there is a secret sauce, and it is empathy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really the secret sauce. It's just being attuned to the other person, understanding when they're feeling, and not trying to explain their feelings to them. Uh-huh. But just let them know that you're hearing it, you're getting it.
Yeah, and I think caring enough to make that effort is maybe like the real bottom line thing.
What did your editor say? So now you better stay married or else I'm going to
be at least through publication.
I think our editor was like, did you really do all these? Damn straight we did.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is there's a lot of these on the list that we actually plan to repeat because they're almost like good relationship hygiene over the long term. So there's one, for example, where for a week, we didn't use electronics after work.
Oh, I love that one.
Oh, yeah. We love that one too. And it's the kind of thing that every couple should be doing that every so often, just kind of reconnect with themselves, reconnect with their partners. And if you have a family, like reconnect with each other. We actually have repeated some of the sex dates too, because I think that's something that for every couple will permanently be, you know, on the list of things you need to be working on.
Well, congratulations. And I mean, you know, I think you're doing all right.
Thanks.
But talk to me when you've had some kids, okay? Kitties.
We'll come back.
Okay. Yeah. I've been married over a year. Yeah. That sounds
impressive.
Yeah. So impressive. Oh, but it's great. Thanks so much. These are great, thoughtful, wonderful things to think about.
Thanks. Thank you.
Happily married for now. Brooke Silva-Braga and Jill Andres are the authors of The Marriage Test, 40 Dates Before I Do.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.